Hello, I'm Lee Johnson, an attorney in Westchester, New York, specializing in medical malpractice defense and prevention. Today, I'd like to talk to you about one aspect of a doctor's life that can create a malpractice risk, yet most doctors are not aware of it. I'm referring to the telephone answering service you use after hours and when you're on call. Physicians often regard the answering service as a necessary evil. The necessary part is based on the potential liability if you don't respond timely and appropriately to a patient emergency. Now, to fully appreciate this liability, let's take a worst-case scenario. A patient calls your service complaining of left-sided numbness, blurred vision, and confusion. You contact the patient hours later, the patient has a stroke, TPA is not administered within the 3-hour window, paralysis ensues, and you are sued for malpractice and abandonment. You will have to defend your standard of care in the timeliness and appropriateness of the advice you give the patient. But you will also have to defend the standard of care of your answering service. If the patient calls with a headache and says it is not an emergency, but later is diagnosed with a cerebral aneurysm, you will have to show that the failure to call was reasonable given the circumstances. The answering service is regarded legally as the agent of the doctor, so you are responsible for selection, providing guidelines, and monitoring. Patient satisfaction is a consideration when choosing your answering service. Make sure the operators speak good English and are polite to the patients. If you have a multicultural patient base, you can consider having operators who speak other languages. Make sure patients are not placed on hold for long periods of time. Provide guidelines. The operator should first ask the patient if it is an emergency. Tell the operators how to recognize an emergency, when to call you, and when to take a message requesting office appointments. Instruct them to tell patients to call 911 or to go to the hospital emergency room if you do not get back to the patient in time. Make sure the service knows who is on call and how to contact you. Give them complete information about on-call schedules for the hospital and coverage arrangements for your practice. Give them all your contact information, cell phone, text, email, home phone, beeper, or alternate landline, where you are, and for what time period. Make sure you're available. Never let the operators feel that their primary job is to deflect calls away from your attention. Try to arrange backup coverage with another physician in case the service can't reach you. You can contract for service to be available 24/7 in case there is an emergency, even during the day. You can also ask the service to report every morning about the previous night's activity. A pattern of sloppy message forwarding can be used by a plaintiff's attorney to show that you are negligent in not monitoring and correcting problems. Does the service delay when they need to call you, tell a patient in need to wait until morning, or refuse to take messages? Other red flags include not calling back right away, not dating and timing the message, calling the wrong doctor, transposing a number, or garbling a message. So, how can you protect yourself? By treating the telephone service as an extension of your practice. Scrutinize it as carefully as if it were your own office. Try posing as a patient. Call the service. Check for efficiency and accuracy. If you're not satisfied, complain to the service. If the situation doesn't improve, find a better service. You are, after all, the one who has a duty to reach the patient. It is no excuse legally if the service gives you garbled messages or fails to reach you. You must defend the standard of care, i.e., that a reasonable physician would have reached the patient in the same time frames and given similar advice. Proximate cause, which can be defined as the causal connection between the alleged departure from the standard of care and the patient's damages. Proximate cause will probably be an issue in any claim involving an answering service. The question will be, did the failure to get to the patient in time and/or give reasonable advice cause the patient's injuries? Or stated alternatively, would the progress of the disease have been the same regardless of the alleged malfeasance of the physician? In the stroke example above, one issue would be whether the failure to administer TPA proximately caused the patient's damages. If you deem that a patient has a serious emergency, you can tell him to call 911, go to the ER, or have someone drive him there. You can offer to dial 911 for the patient, as your call will help ensure that the patient receives prompt attention. If the problem is very serious, you can tell the patient that you will meet him in the ER. You can also contact the ER to provide any necessary history, relay special concerns, and/or arrange for a follow-up office visit. In the event of a lawsuit, you will need to produce documentation to support your standard of care. So use telephone message pads or write notes. Make sure that you later enter the notes into the office and/or hospital record. Note the patient's complaint, your advice, and the date and time of the call. Answering services can provide call recording and electronic time stamping. If you have legal or malpractice questions, please write to Medscape, Business of Medicine. I'm Lee Johnson, and thank you for listening.